just want to thank you for this time together. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for the live stream that so many can tune in, not only from our fellowship, but throughout just the city, throughout the state and the nation, and even abroad, Lord, that you've brought many to log in and to participate through the live stream, the teaching of your word. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint this time with your spirit, Lord. We desire, Lord, to hear from you. May we decrease, may you increase, Lord. May you anoint my teaching, anoint my mouth, Lord, to speak words of truth, Lord, just from you, Lord, through your scriptures, that you would have a word of prophecy to each one of us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be in Revelation chapter 5. I titled this message, The Lamb and the Seven Sealed Scroll. These are the two kind of focal points in our text this morning in Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb and the Seven Sealed Scroll. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, we don't have a whole lot of extra data on what this Seven Sealed Scroll is, even though it's a very important piece in Revelation. We're going to see that we're introduced to this scroll in chapter 5, and the seals upon this scroll, as they're loose, they're going to set the course from Revelation chapter 6 through 19, which we believe is the seven-year tribulation. With each loosing of each seal on that scroll, judgment is going to be administered upon this earth. So you're going to see that as the outline of Revelation chapter 6 all the way through 19. We'll begin chapter 6 next week. But we're introduced to this scroll this morning, okay, in chapter 5. So what is this scroll? That's one of the major questions. And we're going to kind of wrestle with this a little bit because it doesn't actually spell it out. So what we're going to do is we're going to cross-reference to other scriptures and try to get some language on this, okay? Also, one of the main characters in chapter 5 is the Lamb. Now, who is the Lamb? Well, we know, but you can probably figure it out, right? The Lamb of God slain for the sins of this world. So we're introduced to this third person of the Trinity, not so much in Revelation. We've seen Jesus Christ, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1. Remember the things that John has seen, right? The revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. But when I'm saying introduced to a new character of the person of the Trinity, the third person of the second person of the Trinity, in that he's referenced as a lamb, right? The Lamb of God slain from before the foundations of the earth, we're going to see. And he's slain for the sins of this world. Now, we talked about how in Revelation it's the unveiled Jesus, but here we're going to see a reference to the veiled Jesus as a lamb, okay? Why is that important? Okay, so we're going to talk about these two things, the lamb and the seven sealed scroll, and the two, I believe, have a direct relationship. Okay, so we're going to look at that, and in that, that's why I believe this seven sealed scroll, the scroll is actually the title deed to the earth. Now, there's different views, okay? Now, we're going to highlight a couple of those different views, but I don't want to get too much into that to kind of confuse the message. I really believe it's the title deed to the earth, but whether it is or not, we can't deny that it's a scroll and has seven seals around it, and those seven seals, as they're loosed, we're going to see judgment. Why judgment? Because what? It's going to prepare this earth for the return of Christ. That's the most important feature, okay? So we'll look at this. Now, I want to begin by reading the whole, so you kind of get the gist of the picture of heaven again, right? And the picture following Revelation chapter 4, which we're going to review a little bit after I read the whole, but then the a whole of chapter 5 now takes us kind of to a focus on the Lamb at the throne, and then also this seven-sealed scroll, okay? So we're going to read this in chapter 5. Let's read the whole, and then we'll look at the parts, and we'll see what this scroll is and who this Lamb is, okay? So let's all stand as we read the Word of God together. Revelation chapter 5, right at verse 1 there. All right, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, John records this, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. Verse 3, and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And so I wept, verse 4, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders, verse 5, said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Verse 6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then, verse 7, he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11, and then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, and every creature which is in the earth and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Verse 14, then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So this gets better and better and more glorious. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Give us revelation, Lord. Give us understanding unto what this all means. Anoint, I pray, each person that's tuned into the live stream. Anoint their hearts, Lord, to receive all that you have for them in your word this morning. Give them a word of prophecy directly from you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. Okay, so a lot going on here in Revelation chapter 5. So let me remind you, we're in heaven, right? The scene is heaven. How do we get there? The rapture of the church. Okay, so Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 are the letters to the seven churches, right? Those were the things which John recorded, the things which are, the present tense. Present tense where John, he wrote the book of Revelation in the time of the church. Remember, we noted this. So Revelation 2 and 3 is present tense. We're still in the time of the church, right? But then after Revelation 3, right, we see now it says verse 1 of chapter 4, after these things, after the time of the church, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. Okay, so this is where we believe that the church gets translated up into heaven. How does that happen? Well, remember, 2 weeks ago, we just focused on verse 1 and went to all the rapture verses, right? And we saw how there's going to be a translation of the church in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, right? The dead in Christ arise first, and we who are living in that generation when Jesus comes for his church, we're going to join those in the air with Christ. We're going to receive our resurrected bodies made for the heavens, okay? So we've noted this. That's how the church gets to heaven, right? And it's at the trumpet sound. Notice this. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. Remember, we noted all the rapture verses that reference the trumpet, the last trumpet, right? After trumpet sound, we're going to rise and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, okay? So we've noted this, right? The church is now in heaven, and we reference the 24 elders on the 24 thrones in heaven. Notice in verse 4, chapter 4, around the throne of God, right? God the Father's there. It says, around the throne, verse 4, were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Remember, we looked at all the different cross-references on the support of these 24 elders are representative of the church. The number 24 being the number of representing a bigger number of people. Remember, we referenced that whole 24 orders of priests, right? We noted how that represented the priestly order there, and all the priests, thousands of priests, and the priests represented the nation of Israel to God, right? And so we looked at that and how this number 24 is a representative number, and the 24 elders, we believe, is representative of the church, because these 24 elders have what? Crown, Stephanos. Now, it's not the crown of a king, a diadem like Jesus would wear, but it's the crown of the victor, the Olympic race, right? The runner, right? He finishes and he receives that crown. We're in a race. This is a race of faith. We live not by what? Sight, but by faith. And when our faith turns to sight, that's when we are going to see the Lord in heaven, but we'll receive our crowns, right? We've finished the race, the victor's race, okay? So this is why we put two and two together from these cross references, that this is representative of the church. Remember, we also noted Ezekiel chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 6, the revelation that Jesus had for what? For heaven? I mean, not Jesus, but that Isaiah and Ezekiel had of heaven there, right? It was what? Pretty much similar to what John sees here, but it's minus the 24 elders. And so we kind of saw that as good evidence as well, because it's after the rapture of the church that these 24 elders, right, represent the church, right? They have now, what, been raptured. But in Ezekiel's time and Isaiah's time, they had a vision of heaven before the rapture. Okay, so we looked at these, right? So I'm underscoring this again to you because I'm giving you the scene of heaven. And so we have the throne of heaven, right, which God is on there. We also know in chapter 4, verse 5, that the Holy Spirit is on the throne. So we have God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. What are we missing? God the Son on the throne. So we just read about the Lamb. So God the Son, in chapter 5, the Lamb, right, is on the throne as well. And so we're introduced to a new person in the Trinity. Not that he's new, that he just came into being. He always existed. But new in the sense that he's being shown us at the throne right here. And he's being shown as the Lamb. Now this is significant, I believe, because it's only the Lamb, right? The one of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, that is able, that is given authority, right, to loose the seals and to open the scroll. Only the Lamb. That is significant, I believe. Okay, so that's why the Lamb and this seven-sealed scroll, I think there is a relationship here that we need to kind of unfold. Now, we know that the Lamb is Jesus, and we're going to look at that as we get into the parts here. It's described right here in verses 5 and also verse 6. We're going to look at cross-references that show us that this is Messiah Jesus. But what about the scroll? What is the scroll? Does it tell us? It doesn't really tell us, does it? And so that's why there's a lot of different views. Now, I'm going to focus on one specific view, which I hold to. I believe it's the title deed to the earth. I'm going to give you some cross-references as well, just as we did with the 24 elders. I'm going to give you some cross-references in Scripture why I believe it's the title deed to the earth. There's a philosophical argument as well, which I want to explain. Okay, I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis and how we lost dominion of this earth. Who gave us the dominion of the earth? Was God the Father. He gave us to Adam and Eve, right? He says, have dominion over all the living things. What happened? They rebelled, so they lost that dominion. So we're going to have that restored. That's why I believe this is the title deed of the earth. We'll get into that, okay? But there's different views on this, and I'm going to kind of highlight real briefly some of these other views just to show you that we can't be dogmatic, right? But the more important thing for us to understand is that there is a scroll, right? And on that scroll has seven seals. And before we can open that scroll, which only Jesus can open, right? Those seals need to be loosed. And with each loosening of each seal, there's judgment upon this earth, right? And so you have seven seals. You have seven parts of judgment upon this earth in the tribulation period. And so after that seventh seal is loose, what's going to happen? The scroll is going to be what? Rolled open. And so we can make an educated kind of assumption what that is. It doesn't tell us what it is, but think about it. When Jesus now returns with what? His bride to rule and reign, perhaps that's the title deed to the earth. Could be, right? And it was rolled up, right? And it was sealed because what? The authority or the dominion, right, of man over the earth was paused when he fell in the garden. That's one of the things we're going to look at, okay? So all that to say, let's begin by reading verse by verse, and we'll kind of unravel this kind of reasoning as we go forward, okay? So Revelation chapter 5, let's begin in verse 1. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So who's the him? Must be God, God the Father, right? Him who sat on the throne. Now we got the description, right? In chapter 4, verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone. And he goes on, right, with the rainbow. And so we identified that as God the Father. See? And we also identified that God the Spirit was on there from verse 5 of chapter 4. Okay? So here we have God the Father. He's on the throne. Now, here we have the introduction to this scroll. And as writing, I want you to note this on the inside and on the outside. Okay, this scroll. So what is this scroll? Well, we don't know. We don't know for sure. Again, we're going to take an educated assumption, right? And we'll look at some cross-references. Okay, but we do know that God the Father is on the throne, and in his right hand he has a scroll, and written has writing on the inside and on the back. And it says sealed with seven seals. Okay, so in that day, when they used to write on scrolls. Like, remember, everybody could see the scroll of Isaiah, right? They wrote on scrolls. Now, how does a scroll work? It's not like a book, right? They didn't have books and binders, right? A scroll. So you had a scroll. You had a left side. You can turn this way and a right side. As you have this unread scroll, everything is on the left side, right? There's nothing on the right side. And it's sealed. How they would seal it, they would tie a little string around it, right? And as they tied that string, they would put some wax on there to seal it. And the reason they did that is when they had important documents, like a title deed to theirs, or like perhaps a will, right? They would make sure that it wasn't tampered by sealing it with wax. And so you can tie it, but when you untie it, you don't know if somebody ate. Somebody probed into my will or probed into the title deed, right? And maybe forged something, right? So they would put a wax seal on it. And if that wax is broken, somebody got in there. Okay, so that's how they would seal it. Okay, so we have this scroll, and it's sealed, and it has seven what? Seven seals upon it. So seven, perhaps, strings tying that thing, the scroll together, and seven wax seals on it, okay? Now, that's what's introduced us, right? Sealed with seven seals. Now, verse 2 says, then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Now, that's a very good question. And as we try to answer this question, which we're going to see, actually it's answered for us, but as we answer this question, we're going to see more, I think, information onto what this seal is, okay? And so, first I want to draw to your attention, verse 2, then I saw a strong angel. Who's this strong angel? Well, we don't know either. But it's interesting, some would say it's Gabriel, because the name Gabriel, you know what the name Gabriel means? What the name Gabriel means? It means strength of God. It's a good name. How to name your son Gabriel? Strength of God. Isn't that a good name? And so if you look that up, right, you go on Google, you look it up, right, it'll give you that definition. So the angel Gabriel means what? The strength of God. Strength of God. Isn't that, that's a wonderful name. And so it says, then I saw a strong angel. That's why people would think that maybe it's Gabriel, right? A strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? So Gabriel, think about it. If this is Gabriel, we don't know for sure, but it's a strong angel. But let's say it is Gabriel. Boy, he's a pretty powerful angel, right? He's not able to open the scroll. And that's why he's asking, who is able to open the scroll? This is a very important question. Now, it's answered right here. Now, let's keep reading. It says, and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So no one in heaven. Now, I do believe God the Father can open it, right? But it's referencing to the angelic hosts, other angels. No one in heaven, right? No one on earth, and no one under the earth. Basically, nobody can open it. No angelic being can open it. Now, God the Father can open it, but there's a reason why he doesn't. That I'm going to probe that reason. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to present this reason to you. Okay? That only the Son can open the scroll. And we know that because it's answered for us, right? And so, this strong angel says, hey, who's going to open this seal? And then, verse 4, John says, well, I wept much because no one was found worthy to open it and read the scroll or to look at it. No one was found worthy. So only one is found worthy in heaven and earth. Now, why Jesus? Someone just answered Jesus. We know the Lamb is Jesus. We're going to look at that. He spells it out. Why only Jesus? See, I think by us trying to understand this, we can maybe understand what this scroll is. Okay? Verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who's that? That's Jesus, we know. So he's starting to give us the answer. And he's giving us the answer through other references in Scripture. Now, the lion of the tribe of Judah. You want to go to Genesis chapter 49, verses 9 and 10. And you want to read that. You can read that in your own time. I'm going to read that to you. But this is the prophecy that Jacob gave over all his sons, all 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. All his sons before, what, in his old age, before he went to be with the Lord. Okay? And so he prophesied over them. So Genesis chapter 49, verses 9 and 10 is the prophecy over Judah. And so he prophesies, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion. That's why it's called the lion of the tribe of Judah. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. This is important in the prophecy. What's the scepter? What does the scepter identify? It says, that's the king. All right, think about it. Remember that old commercial? I shouldn't even know. Remember that old commercial about, is it parquet or is it butter? Remember parquet, they bad that. Was that right? The crown of the king or something like that? All that to say is that the scepter, it speaks, right? It's the symbol of a king. And so he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. So it's saying that a king will be from Judah and it shall not depart. It's going to be an eternal king. So who's that? Well, we know that has to be Jesus, okay? So when it says the lion of the tribe of Judah, it's a specific reference to Messiah, Jesus. This is the one that can loose the seals and open the scroll. And then it goes on to say, the root of David has prevailed. Now, the root of David is also a reference to Messiah, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, who's Jesse? Well, Jesse is David's father. So you can put the two together, right? When it says the root of David, and it refers to that the branch, right, Messiah, would grow out of the root of Jesse. Well, Jesse, you have David, and then you can track the lineage all the way to Messiah, Jesus. Okay, so these are just ways that he's identifying it's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that is able to loose the seals and to open the scroll. And so it says that the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David has prevailed. And I want you to mark that. And I forgot to actually allude to this word prevailed in the first two services, but that this one prevails. Is that Jesus prevails? He prevails through what? Because he's fully man. He had to prevail, just like us. He had to live by faith, just like us. He's fully God indeed. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiled Jesus, we've noted. But here he appears as what? The Lamb. Veiled. The Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And so we've talked about this so often, Jesus, the person of Jesus, right? The doctrine of the person of Jesus, fully God and fully man. In Revelation, we see him fully God, but right here we see a reference to him being fully man. Why is that important? Well, we're going to see in chapter 5 here, as we look at the part, it's because he became the Lamb of God slain for the sins of this world. That's why he is the only one appointed to loose the seals, to open the scroll, which I believe is the title deed to the earth, because he paid for it with his own blood. Okay? And that's why the reference here to him being the Lamb, fully man. Okay? Fully God, fully man. Now, why did that have to be? We noted this so many times before that the perfect man had to come because God is perfect, right? So only God could be that perfect man. So Jesus veiled his glory, became the perfect man. The perfect man is required to become the perfect sacrifice, and the perfect sacrifice is required to remove sins, not only cover sins. So we see that logic there, right? And so it's the removal of sins that redeems man to back to God. But I want you to know this. We've talked about this, right? That man is redeemed fully back to God at the rapture of the church, in terms of the church. And the resurrected bodies, right, they're now at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they're going to return to this earth, and they're going to what? I would submit to you that seven seal, when that's loose, the title deed is going to be open. They're going to return, and they're going to claim back what was lost at the garden. They're going to rule and reign with Christ. right? You have the bridegroom, as I mentioned, and the bride, the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? They're feasting at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven during the 7-year tribulation, but they're going to return at the end of the tribulation after that seventh seal is loosed. The title deed to the earth will be open, and they're going to lay claim to this earth, 1,000-year rule and reign with Christ. So when you think about it, man is going to have dominion over this earth again with the Lord. And so you can see how that fits, even in a philosophical and logical way. Does it say that? It doesn't say that, but we can piece these things together, okay? So this is why I believe that this scroll is the title deed to the earth. Who's the god of this earth now? It's Satan. Remember, I'm going to give you the scriptures of that. Called Satan the god of this earth, and then also Jesus called Satan the prince of this earth. Boy, I'm sure I'm getting all my cross-references to kind of mixed up. Okay, so Paul refers to Satan as the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus called Satan the prince of this world in John chapter 12, verse 31. Okay, the reason I'm drawing this to your attention is that at the fall in the garden, this is what happened. Even though God gave Adam and Eve dominion over this earth, they lost that as they what? They bowed to Satan and they sinned. They rebelled against God. And so they lost dominion. So Satan has dominion over this earth. That's why this earth, there's death and there's sin, right? That's why all hell is breaking loose. And Jesus is now going to redeem this earth back to himself. But he's come by the cross, right? Those that are born again, they receive their resurrected bodies at the rapture. And then they're going to return with him after the seventh seal is loosed, right? Sin is going to be purged from this earth. And then they're going to return the scroll, if it's the title deed, is opened again. And then we're going to lay claim to this earth. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay? That's kind of the logic there. Okay? And so when it says here, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, verse 6, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. Now this, I think, is very important. The appearance of God the Son is as a lamb, though it had been slain. So we see here Jesus as what? Fully man. Even though it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, fully God. But right here, because I believe, right, only Jesus is the one that is given just the authority to loose the sins. It's because of who he is. He's fully God and fully man. He became the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. And that specifically identified him to loose the seals. Okay? Only he can do it. So a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So this is the deity of Jesus, right? When it says the seven horns, it speaks of his power. The horn speaks of God's power, right? So seven horns, the complete power, the omnipotent power of God. But then also talks about the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit, his omniscience, all-knowing. So this is our deity characteristics, right? But in that, he's the Lamb also, fully man. So this is important, the identification of the person of Jesus Christ. He's on the throne here now, but he's the only one that can receive that scroll from God the Father and begin to loose its seals. Only Jesus, because he is the only one that's fully God and fully man. Okay, understand? So that's why, to me, the title deed to the earth really does fit. And says, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Then we're going to see from this point on all the worship, right? But as he receives the scroll, we're going to see in chapter 6, from chapter 6 on, from next week, he's going to loose the seals of the scroll. And each time he looses one of the seals, you're going to have judgment come. Okay? And the judgment is going to come until his return. The judgment is going to be administered until sin is purged from this earth. And then he can return with his bride to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That mankind, those that have been redeemed, will have dominion upon this earth again. And that's the title deed of the earth being reclaimed. That's what I believe. Okay? Okay, so many commentators hold this, but there's also good commentators that have a different interpretation. I want to mark this to you, okay? I don't want to confuse you, but I want to mark this to you because there's good commentators that have different views. Now, the commentators that hold to this view that I just described to you are ones like Pastor Chuck, the founder of Calvary Chapel, the late Pastor Chuck. If you read his commentaries, he'll hold to this. He says that he believes that the title deed to the earth is the scroll, okay? Now, I want to mark this. He's not dogmatic about it. He said it would seem. Also, ones like Warren Wiersbe, if you read Warren Wiersbe's commentary, he says the same thing. Dr. Henry Morris, and then John MacArthur, right? Grace Community Church, he believes that as well. It's interesting, though, you have some good commentators that believe it's things like God's will, like a will. And the reason that they say that is that in that day, and I kept on missing the comment I wanted to read to you, it's right here written in my handwriting, but I didn't see it. But this is something that Walvoord holds, it's God's will. This scroll is God's, it's a will. And Walvoord, right, who I use as a commentary on Revelation, he's a very knowledgeable commentator. He feels that it could be a will. And he says this. He says, Roman law required a will to be sealed seven times, as illustrated by the wills left by Augustus Caesar, and Vespasian for their successors. And so he references in history at that time, the time of Jesus, and when you see all these Roman Empire emperors coming into play, right? They left wills for their descendants. And the wills were always on scrolls, and they always had seven seals. So they're pointing directly to that. And they said, well, this matches what's described in Revelation 5. So perhaps, Walvoord is saying, perhaps this is a will from God. Perhaps. Now, other ones believe this as well. David Guzik, who's a Calvary Chapel pastor, right? And I reference a lot of his commentaries. He feels the same way. So there's some good commentators, there's good Bible students that feel it's a will. Now, it could be. Could be. It doesn't say whether it is or not. And so again, they're using a scroll with seven seals. And so they just match it up with that. Now, the hard time I have with that is that it doesn't make sense to me why God the Father has a will. You usually have a will if you're going to die. But God the Father is always God the Father. So that's where I have a little challenge with. But I don't know for sure. I more side with it's the title deed of the earth. And that's why the connection with the Lamb. Only the Lamb can redeem or can loose those seals. Because only the Lamb was a man slain for the sins of the world. Right? And as Jesus, the Lamb, right? He's in heaven. He's going to return with the resurrected, right? The saints. And then remember, at the end of the tribulation, the Old Testament saints will receive their resurrected body, and the tribulation saints will receive their resurrected bodies. That covers all the faithful, right? You got the church, you have the Old Testament saints, and you have the tribulation saints. That covers everybody, right? So at the end of the tribulation, you're going to have all the saints in their resurrected body, and they're going to rule and reign with Christ. So mankind of the faithful will what? Will have authority over the earth again. They'll rule and reign with Christ. So that to me matches the perspective of this being the title deed to the earth. That title deed is not going to be reestablished and claimed by Jesus, the bridegroom, and then those that are of the faith, right? When he returns and rules and reigns, that's not going to be reestablished, that dominion over the earth, until that title deed is opened. And you have to loose seven seals for that to open. That to me makes a little bit more sense. Okay, but I draw this to your attention. Actually, you know what? I did misquote something. David Guzik and Barclay, they believe it's God's will. J. Vernon McGee, he has a little bit different view on this. Now, this guy got it, right? He believes that this scroll is the new covenant. And so does J. Vernon McGee. But he takes it one step further. He believes it's the new covenant written to Israel. So the new covenant, right, is already for the church. He believes it's the new covenant written to Israel, which kind of matches the context, right, in Revelation, right? Because Revelation is really, a lot has to do with Israel. Remember the 144,000? And as they receive the new covenant. So he believes that as the seals are loose, right, as that last seal is loose, that Israel is going to come in. to the new covenant. So that's a different perspective. Could be, okay? All that to say is that there's enough respected commentators that differ, that hold to this whole rapture, tribulation, and millennial kingdom, that we really shouldn't be dogmatic. And you know, one of the things I want to share with you, and this is just kind of a side note, I was pretty impressed. I read a lot of commentators this time, just to see what their different views are. I know what I feel reading the scriptures, but I wanted to read because I know there's a lot of different views. And you know, it's interesting, all these learned guys of the Bible, they're very, very humble. None of them are dogmatic. They just said, you know what, we think it could be. And you know what that showed me? Is that often, well, I wouldn't say oftentimes, but sometimes we're dogmatic because we don't know so much. You ever notice that? We always said this, a little knowledge and a little confidence, boy, sometimes it's a volatile combination. You ever notice that sometimes people that are very secure with what they know, they tend to be a little bit less dogmatic? You know what I'm talking about? But then ones that aren't so secure with what they know, because maybe they don't know much, they're pretty dogmatic. You ever notice that? Sometimes. And I was kind of impressed, actually. I read about eight commentators, and they were very, very, very humble. Said, you know, we don't know for sure. This could be this. It's very interesting how they word that. I want to mark that to you just because we do not know for sure what this scroll is. The interpretation I side with, I gave you, right? I'm cross-referencing to Scripture, right? Jeremiah, and I'm going to take you to that. But also, there's a reference to a scroll in Jeremiah, also a reference to a scroll in Ezekiel. I'm going to give you those addresses for you to read on your own time. That, to me, matches. Now, I want to take you to one cross-reference in Jeremiah, which gives us an account of a scroll being a title deed. And this is where I think this cross-reference is very important. Okay, so if you go with me to Jeremiah chapter 32, I want to read this to you. And if you've been coming to our Jeremiah study in our midweek study, this will be reviewed to you. But I want to read this because this is a record of a title deed. And it's going to sound a lot like this scroll here. Okay? And so Jeremiah chapter 32, I want to read from verse 8. And the account here is, remember Jeremiah, he's prophesying during a time when Israel is being taken into exile. Jerusalem specifically, remember? Remember the false prophets are saying, hey, you're going to be delivered. Jeremiah's lying to you, right? And they throw him in a dungeon. But Jeremiah is a true prophet. And one or two of them, these true prophets, are prophesying the truth. They say, you know what? That you're going to go into exile. God has predestined us to go into exile for 70 years. Why? Because we've been what? We've been sinners. We've been serving pagan gods. And so he's been prophesying. Get used to it. When Nebuchadnezzar comes in, do what he says. 70 years is going to be your discipline. But then if you do that, you're going to return to the land. But if you don't do that, you're going to perish if you fight. Remember, that's the message. So what he tells Jeremiah to ratify this message, he says, Jeremiah, you're going to go into exile, but I want you to buy some land. How am I going to buy a piece of land that you're going to lose by going into exile? He says, hey, buy that land. Well, the reason is it's a prophetic word. Buy that land because you're going to return. Your descendants are going to return after 70 years. But how he buys that land, he has to get a title deed to that land. And it's a scroll. And it's writing in that scroll, and it's sealed. Okay, so that's where several commentators, they kind of link this up with Revelation chapter 5. That scroll with those seven seals is the title deed to the earth. Okay, so Jeremiah chapter 32, let's read from verse 8. Jeremiah records, then Hanamel, my uncle, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. And then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Verse 9, so I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. Okay, so it's a pretty good size amount of money, right? So he's buying this, but he knows that they're going to go into exile. The word of God told us they're going to go into exile. So can you imagine? Someone says, pay all this money for that land across the street, but know this, that you're going to be kind of exiled to another country in a couple months. Are you going to buy that? No, right? But he says to buy that because you're going to return. Okay? So he says, verse 10, And I signed the deed and sealed it. This is a scroll. I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses and weighed the money on the scales. Verse 11. And so I took the purchase deed, this would be the title deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. So the law and the custom was to seal that title deed. And so these commentators say, hey, that perhaps that's the title deed to the earth. It's sealed until they can redeem it. Okay? Now verse 12 says, and I gave the purchase deed to Baruch. Baruch is his scribe, by the way. The son of Neriah, son of Messiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. And then I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed, which is sealed, and this deed, which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may last many days. So store this until, basically, we need it when we return. Okay, now verse 15 says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now, I think that's an important detail there, because if that is the title deed to the earth in Revelation chapter 5, what is that saying? When Jesus returns with the armies of heaven, and then when the Old Testament saints get their resurrected body, and the tribulation saints get their resurrected body, they're all going to rule and reign with Christ, right, on this earth. Houses are going to be rebuilt, right, during the millennial kingdom, especially in Israel, especially in Jerusalem. And so you can see the parallel there, right? As that last seal is loose, that title deed, if it's the title deed, that scroll is open, and then you got the Lord returning, you have the resurrected saints, right? They're there ruling and reigning, and they're going to possess that land again. They're going to rule and reign. They're going to have dominion over this earth. So you can see how it matches, right? And that's why I kind of side with this view of it's the title deed to the earth. Now, as you go back to Revelation 5, that's my 2 cents for what it's worth, okay? We don't know for sure. Maybe J. Vernon McGee is right. Could be. You know, maybe Barclay is right. Maybe Walward is right. We don't know for sure. What we do is try to get scripture right to back us up. Now, but what we do know for sure is that this scroll has 7 seals, and those things are going to be loosed. And every time those things are going to be loosed, what's going to happen? Judgment. It's going to lead us to the second coming of Christ. And so we know judgment is going to be administered to purge this earth from sin. That we do know, to prepare for Jesus to return. We don't specifically know what the scroll is, but we do know what the seals do when they're loosed. Okay? I want to draw your attention to that. Because of this, though, because it takes us to this final chapter where we're going to rule and reign with Christ, there's wonderful rejoicing in heaven. It's a new song is being sung. Because not only are they in heaven, they're seeing as they're married to the Lamb right now, as they're married to the Lamb, as they're married, right? They see that finally, with this scroll coming and the loosing of the seals, that it's going to establish their work together with Christ on this earth. They're going to rule and reign with Christ. And so their focus, right, starts to be opened up to those promises there. Okay, and so there's wonderful rejoicing. So we pick that up in verse 8. It says, now when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, what are these prayers? Perhaps there ever prayer that you ever pray this, oh Lord, come quickly. You ever pray that? Or you see some outrageous wrong on this earth. You say, oh my goodness, Lord. Right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. Lord, when? I believe these are the prayers. And as this scroll is introduced, no matter what it is, we know the 7 seals gets us to what? His return. And they're saying, oh, a new song. Lord, we see the end. We're almost there. Right? I believe that this is what's happening here. And so these bowls full of incense, they're the prayers of the saints. And notice in verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song. What's that new song? It's kind of this new, not a new revelation, but it's acknowledging that finally what they saw in Scripture, right? For all these years, right? Is finally going to come to pass. That Jesus is going to return and this earth is going to be run the way it ought to be. Can you say amen to that? The way it ought to be. And there's just wonderful rejoicing in heaven. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to what? Take the scroll. Who's worthy? The Lamb. And to open its seals. Who's worthy to open its seals? The Lamb. Jesus. For you were slain. See, only God the Son was slain. That's why he's the only one that is qualified to loose the seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. And out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. How does he made us kings and priests? Well, through the cross of Calvary, we become what? Grafted into the royal family, right? We're now family of God. Kings, right? And then priests. How are we priests? I think about it this way. No longer do we have to go through a priest to get to the Lord. Jesus is our great high priest. Right? We just go right directly to him. And I think about that teaching in Scripture where we are now what? Ambassadors of Christ, right? What's an ambassador? We're representatives of Christ. And so in a way, when the world sees us, they ought to see Christ. We're his hands and his feet. And that's what a priest is, right? He's the go-between, between God and people. The high priest in Israel's time, right? He was the go-between between the nation of Israel and God, between God and the nation of Israel. And so we too, right? When you think about it, the world is not going to see God unless probably he sees it through what? Christians. They're not reading their Bible. They're not going to fellowship, right? Perhaps the closest thing they're going to see to the Lord is you, the Lord working in you. And so he says, you, Jesus, have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall what? Reign on the earth. I want you to underscore, I want you to highlight that. Who's going to reign on the earth? That we are. Those with the resurrected bodies. So we're going to have dominion over this earth again. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. And so this, to me, is more data supporting that. Perhaps this scroll, when it's finally opened after that seventh seal, is the title deed. Title deed to the earth. That Jesus and we, his bride, and also the resurrected Old Testament saints and tribulation saints in their resurrected body, we're going to lay claim to this earth and rule and reign. We're going to have the dominion of this earth once again. And we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11 says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, verse 11, I believe, is support for that view. And Walford highlights that 24 is a representative number. And so the 24 elders, it represented the church. But it didn't mean that only 24, right, are there worshiping. It's representative of the church and Lord. And we see what? A definition of that, right? I looked and I heard the voice of many angels. So the four cherubim there around the throne, they weren't the only angels there, right? They're representative of the angelic hosts in heaven. And so he says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. What he's saying is that you can't count them. But they're represented by what? The elders. So the rapture of the church, there's going to be so many. Can you imagine the worship and the angelic hosts, all the angels? Can you imagine how good it's going to be? It says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is who? Worthy is the Lamb. I want you to note that. See, in chapter 5, it's about the Lamb and this scroll. Only the Lamb is worthy to loose the seals of this scroll. So the scroll is very important. And we don't know exactly, definitively what it is, but we know that the seals, the loosing of those seals, gets us to the end. So it says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, if you've ever been asked, Jesus never claimed to be God. The Bible never says that Jesus is God. Well, who are they worshiping? They're worshiping the Lamb, right? Who's the Lamb? God. The Lamb is Jesus. So, I mean, this is, I mean, not just this. But we're only supposed to worship God. This is the second person. He's fully God. They're worshiping the Lamb. And every creature which is in heaven or on the earth and under the earth, and such are as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and what? To the Lamb forever and ever. So notice the expanse of these living ones, right? It says every creature which is in heaven and on the earth. So the whole angelic host, all those that have lived on this earth. Now notice this, and under the earth. So the saints that are in heaven, and perhaps those that even went below. And notice it says, and such as are in the sea, those that maybe are buried at sea. Remember that scripture that says that every tribe, tongue, and language will bow at the knee of Jesus? Every knee, right, will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think of that. You know, whether those that are of the faith in heaven and those that are not of the faith in Hades, awaiting their bodies for great white throne judgment, doesn't matter. At this point, they're going to say, hey, Jesus is God. Better to say it now, huh, than later? Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The worship, the praise going out to God the Father, God the Son, through the work of the Spirit, right at the throne. Verse 14, then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And so chapter 6, next week, we're going to begin to look at the loosing of the seals. Notice in verse 1, now I saw when the Lamb opened, what? One of the seals. This is going to set the course from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19. So it's not so much going to focus on the scroll. And that's why perhaps he doesn't identify the scroll, even though we take some educated assumptions, as I give you, right? But he emphasizes what? The seals of the scroll. And so as each seal is loose, judgment. Seven seals. Takes us all the way to his return. Revelation 19. And if this is indeed the title deed to the earth, after that seventh seal is loosed, then we are going to return and we're going to have dominion over this earth. Okay? Let's pray, Lord. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to understand this, not just with our mind, but, Lord, with our hearts. But help us to come to know you in a fuller way, a more personal way, Lord, that we can recognize and know these things, Lord, that we can know the final chapter, what we will be doing and what will be happening on this earth. Oh, Lord, that we might know the hope that we have. It's a sure hope, and it's a great hope. It's a good hope. The worship, Lord, the fabulous worship in heaven. And, Lord, as that worship turns a bit and recognizes the Lamb and also the scroll with the seven seals and just the worship that erupts in heaven, Lord, looking toward the time when you return and things are made as they ought to be. Things that are made as you desire, Lord, they're going to be exercised when you return. What a glorious time in heaven to see that turning point, Lord, as I believe we see in Revelation 5. So help us, I pray. Help us to live this life of faith with that hope that we know is going to come to pass. Help us. Help us to take steps of faith. Help us to be sold out for you so much, Lord, that we're looking to the things of heaven, not the things of this earth anymore, Lord. Help us to live for the new Jerusalem. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?